CliffCentral.com.
Right. Good morning, CliffCentral.com. It's Tuesday. We've got Mash on the line. We've got Mark Mcluhley. It is all happening this Tuesday morning. We've got lots to talk about as well. Is that tea, coffee, or is that brandy that you got there, Mark? You started to sip on
it. It was brandy, but it was coffee. It's coffee, actually. My second cup for the morning. No, I don't drink in the morning anymore. That was 20-year-old me things. I'm 30 now. I woke up this morning with back pain, legitimately. Like, even getting this coffee was a struggle. I was like, what's going on?
Back pain. How old are you?
I just turned 30. You just mentioned 1992. I was born in 92. So, yeah, 30 years old. And ever since, my knees have been going to shit. My lower back right now is a mess. I can't drink two days in a row. I hate it, guys. Growing old is a bummer. I don't know how you do it.
You're a disaster.
No.
Mash, is yours coffee or is it something else?
I'm just having a cup of coffee, my black roast. Yeah, that's about it. That's about it.
All right.
Mash, I get it. Yeah, you want that picture of the pots. I actually want to elaborate on that a bit.
Yes. We need to get to the... Okay, let's get to the pots. So Mash, explain the story for us and then I'll show the picture again. This is horrible. Mm.
So there's a girl on Twitter who tweeted a screenshot of the price of a set of pots that she bought. I think she bought them online. Mm-hmm. And then she posted a picture side by side of the pots themselves after she got them and started using them. Now, the picture, it's a set of about, I think, a set of like 4 to 6 pots. And it's non-stick pots. And they look really good in the picture. And she got them for 300 Rand. 300 Rand. And then in the second picture, it's a picture of the pots and they don't even look non-stick anymore. The black has just completely washed off. So she posted this complaining on Twitter and people were like, wait a minute, you got a set of pots, non-stick pots for 300 Rand. It actually says there's 7 pieces. You got 7 pots for 300 Rand. 7 non-stick pots. Yeah?
That should have been the first red flag.
Exactly. So after this happened, people were attacking her and trashing her in the comments saying that, come on, baby girl. Did you really think it was good pots for 300 Rand? 7 of them. So if you actually divide 300 Rand by 7, it means each pot is about 60 bucks. And you still went for it. Okay. So people started trashing her for that.
I feel sorry for her. You know, first of all, I love the way everyone on social media is so clever. They would never make a mistake. Of course, some of them, when they do make a mistake, they're not going to put it online. They're not going to post it. They know they should be embarrassed. So they shut up and they hide away and they don't share the stuff. I feel sorry for her. First of all, I don't know what pots should cost because I don't cook often enough. And I know there are people who sell very expensive pots. You know, you get these hugely expensive ones, that cost like, hundreds of rands for each pot. So I don't know. Maybe they just, have been used once or twice. I think the problem is not the person who bought this, but the person who sold this. If you sell pots like this and you try to make it sound like they are new or they're in good condition, and then they arrive and they look like this shit, that is on you, not on the person who bought them.
Yeah.
I don't agree there.
Can I tell you why I agree? Because there's this phenomenon, and I don't know if you guys have experienced it of late, where people who provide services have almost become nonchalant about their service. It's like you're not paying for this high quality thing or whatever it is that you're buying. I still want it to be of good quality. Like even Uber drivers now, they pretend like they're not serving you. Like, dog, I want to play my music. I'm paying you for this trip. I want it to be the way I want it to be. Fucking delivery people, they get your order wrong and it's your fault. Like, I'm also we don't have expectations anymore as consumers where we can go like, no, actually, guy, I'm paying this much money. This is what I expect. If that's not it, you need to shape up or ship out, you know? And I think it's hard to beat because there's so many options. The consumer knows that and so does the provider. So it's just like, It has to be an internal thing where you're like, I want to sell good products, or I want to provide a good service because it's better than a bad one.
That's Ryan wants just what to know. Ryan wants to know, look at the color of those pots. What on earth is she cooking in there?
Carrots. That's the
meaning, I think.
Orange. But I don't, I do not agree with you guys, because I believe in you get what you pay for. You always get what you pay for in life. Right. And I see people corrected me and said 7-piece doesn't mean 7 pots. It means pots and lids together. So it's actually 4 pots and a couple of lids, 3 lids.
Yeah.
So,
but still,
cheap. Yeah. But I think that you get what you pay for. If you want to go cheap, like there's certain times that you can go cheap with something, and there's certain times that you can't. Certain things are investments. Pots are investments. A good bed is an investment. You cheap out on your bed, you're going to pay the price. You're going to pay the price. I know people who cheaped out on their beds and they're just out here looking like Last of Us zombies. Every time they walk, you just hear creaking and that's all you hear. Because that messed up. So the point is, you get what you pay for. And if you're going to cheap out, you're going to get the quality that you paid for. And unfortunately, that's just how the world works. If something's too cheap, you have to know that there's something wrong with it. We can't keep blaming the vendors. You have to know that you're getting what you paid for. I once bought jelly babies from a Pakistani shop that was so cheap. They're like R5, a big packet. And then I ate them and they literally tasted like poop. And I realized that, damn, I get what I paid for. You always get what you paid for. So you can't complain.
You learn that lesson very quickly, right? I mean, like, if you don't do your due diligence, you're going to get scammed. I get that. But they're also, you know, there are lots of scammers out there. And frankly, I think those people should be ashamed of themselves, really.
Yeah.
Where do we start?
Right. I want to scare you guys. I want to frighten you quickly. So I didn't know this is possible. I'm going to show you a video here of what happens, and then I'll explain it afterwards. So if you're watching on YouTube, you'll see this live. If you are listening, I'll explain it in the podcast after the video. Video is quick. It's like 12 seconds. So take a look at this, and then you tell me what you think of this after I've explained what it is.
I could have lived a much happier life not knowing that they can do that.
For anybody who didn't see it, what it was is there's a snake on the corner of a roof. Okay. This is about 3.5-4 meters up, and the snake kind of looks over the corner of this roof, and then it jumps and it lands on the ground, 4 meter drop at least. And then it just slithers away. And the guy goes, I don't know about you, but I could have lived without knowing they could do that. The snake jumped. It jumped. It doesn't have legs. It just jumped. It hits the ground and then it slithers away. And if snakes can do that, then they can jump into your windows. God alone knows where they can go. I mean, this is not a happy thing to have to see first thing in the morning. Someone sent that to me yesterday and it freaked me the hell out.
Yeah, that's my take on. Thanks, Gareth.
I don't like it. I don't like it at all. I used to be terrified as a child of walking under trees because I always thought a snake would just attack me from a tree, because I heard green mambas and green tree snakes just attack people from trees in Northern African countries and in Asia. So now you've just reignited that in me, Gareth, and I'm not going to sleep for a couple of days. So
now, while we're talking about things that can bite you, here is a very useful bit of information from a guy. I think he's from Malawi, but have a listen to this. It's all about mosquitoes. Are you ready?
Mr. Zozua, what do you call mosquito in your language?
We don't call them. They just come and bite.
So the guy asks him, what do you call mosquitoes in your language? And he goes, no, we don't call it them. They just come. When they just come and they bite. We don't have to call it them.
So, hey, you don't even need any time. They just come.
All right. Very, Very sad news. I was scouring the internet yesterday and I came across this terrible, terrible, sad post. And I know we were talking about how we're not going to cry and we're not going to be all about sob stories, but this is from the Vagina Museum. So very important. I didn't even know there was a Vagina Museum. They said, sad news. We've received notice to vacate our premises at Bethnal Green by the end of the week. As a property guardianship, we've always been aware that we may be asked to leave very short notice. We're disappointed it has come so soon. So if you are in London and you were about to visit the Vagina Museum, they are not going to be there for very long. They have to leave by the end of this week. Very, very sad news. No more Vagina Museum in London. Just for those people who are going especially.
Vagina Museum, like the Queen Elizabeth I's pussy. Like, I don't understand what's happening in this museum.
Wait, whose vaginas are in there? Is it the royal family vaginas? Hey, Meghan Markle is getting a mold done. Hey.
So I don't know.
In there, Garrett?
I think I all the way.
You think all the what?
The wankers, the public masturbators.
Yeah, they're going there. I don't know what they've got in the Vagina Museum, but I thought that was very sad nonetheless. Because, I mean, wouldn't you be curious to just step in there if you saw a big sign saying Vagina Museum? You'd want to see what's in there, right?
Without doubt, yeah. The first thing I see that, dude.
No. Gareth, have you ever went to it? Because I know you've been to that side of the world a couple of times. Have you ever been to the Vagina Museum?
I would tell you, because you've asked some questions about what they've got in there, and I don't know. I wish I could tell you, but you know, now we'll never find out because they've been thrown out, been evicted.
I want to know what their prized possession is in the Vagina Museum, like their Mona Lisa. Is it like, whose vagina is it? Is it Kim Kardashian's or like, I just really want to know who's there. What is their most expensive item?
Yeah.
And how exactly does it work? Is it like, I don't understand. Is it like molds? Is it like little fleshlights on the walls? Or are they like, I don't know exactly how it works.
Let's Google
you
it.
It's so weird. You just look at them.
Yeah, maybe you can touch. Who knows?
Can you touch, sample. It's important to know these things as well before you go.
Yeah.
Well, now you will never, ever know because it's just gone. It's closed. It's finished forever. All right, a couple of questions here. Let's go to the comments. Someone says, all vaginas are disappointed when things come too soon. That's hilarious. It's a medically based museum, says Donna. I don't know. I'm not sure. Harry's face will be in the museum because he's a big vagina. I think Boris Johnson's vagina is a hit at that museum. Somebody said their main exhibit is Tony Blair himself because he's a big vagina. I'm surprised that you know the date when they're leaving. I heard they were tight-lipped about the exit. Nice call. Oh, that's hilarious. Anyway, sad news there about the Vagina Museum shutting down. I know lots of people were planning their trips to London just for that. So now that's not going to work.
Absolutely scream. So, Gareth and Tor, I want to actually share a bit about dating apps and give people a little bit of a perspective because we're coming into winter slowly but surely. The weather's been changing and it's going to be cold pretty soon. Before we know it, in about 4 months, it's going to be freezing and people need to keep each other warm. We have load shedding. So electric blankets are not too much of an option. Gas is great, but gas is expensive. It has it's expensive to get into gas. That's the problem. Mm-hmm. So I want to share a couple of fun facts about dating apps and just give people a little bit of a perspective of which dating app has the best success rate, according to me. So there's a couple of fun facts I want to share first. And the first one is, did you know that women are more likely to care about profile information than men? Men just look at your picture and that's how they make the decision. So we're very visual creatures.
Are you surprised by that, though? I think that sounds obvious to me. It's like, I know lots of my friends who are on these dating apps. They basically just stop swiping when they see a nice picture. They don't even read the name. They don't care about the interests. They try to figure out, first of all, they want to know if the picture's real and if that person is not catfishing, and then they'll start talking to her.
Absolutely shocking. But did you also know that the number of dating app users grew to 323.9 million in 2021? So that is a lot of people. And that is 9% of all people on the internet. So 19% of people on the internet are currently on an online dating platform. Very shocking. Another fun fact, LGBTQ users are twice as likely to use a dating app. According to Pew Research, 55% of the LGBTQ adults said they have used a dating app compared to 28% of the straight adults. This may not be much of a surprise, but the youngest folks who use the dating apps from 18 to 29 years old have a strong preference for Tinder. Tinder is the one for people between 18 to 29 years old. So, kind of makes sense because Tinder does have a playful style and a user preference for less serious flick. In the app, the way it's built, you're swiping as if you're playing a game. Yeah, it's more for hookups. And then users between 30 and 64 years old prefer Match.com, a platform that's somewhat more serious than Tinder. Users over 65 prefer either eHarmony or religious dating sites such as JSwipe, Tide, and 4% each.
Hang on, what is eHarmony?
That is a good question. So eHarmony, I think it's a Christian dating site, if I'm not mistaken.
Really?
Okay, I believe it's a Christian
eHarmony. Huh.
Here it is. Actually, it doesn't say anything about being Christian. Launched in 2000. Here it is. eHarmony is an online dating website launched in 2000. eHarmony is based in LA, California, and owned by Newcom e-commerce, blah, 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 blah. It doesn't say anything about religion. Yeah, it doesn't say anything about religion, so I'm not too sure. But yeah, older people prefer eHarmony. I guess people there are just more relaxed. They're more harmonious and at peace with life in general.
All right. So eHarmony sounds really boring, right, Mark?
Yeah, I don't want to go. I'm not a dating app person in general, but I wouldn't use that.
I mean, so far, this is not really surprising. So, I mean, if people are on Tinder, it's because they want to hook up, right? So there's probably people in their 20s. As they get to their 30s, they want to find someone because they're terrified of being alone and they don't want to be single forever. Maybe they're desperate. Maybe they're lonely. So they start taking it more seriously. And then obviously eHarmony, whatever the fuck that is, that's for very old people who they just want some companionship. They don't want to, you know, wander around in the house on their own, a nursing home on their own. Who knows? But that sounds like an old people thing. So, all right. So far, none of that's so surprising. I'm on your page.
So 19% of online dating users talk to 11 or more people at a time.
Sure.
So on average, they're talking to about 11 people. Makes sense. We're living in the connected age and you always got to be on tap. You always got to be engaged with so many people in order to find that right one. And then some 42% of users aim for marriage by using online dating sites. When we consider how many people look at online dating sites as nothing serious, this is fairly surprising. It's a fairly surprising statistic because most people don't see it as serious. So, or perhaps that 42% is all on eHarmony. And then only 13% of users got engaged or married from meeting people they met on dating sites. And when it comes to dating sites these days, I judge couples by what dating site they met on. So this is MASH. This is how I consider it. And so number one, I'm going to start off with Tinder. Mm-hmm. Tinder is respectable, but it means you probably screwed a few times and the person's genitals were probably in your mouth a couple of times before deciding to actually be together, to be an item. It has great potential for a decent relationship though. And that's how you kind of know. You kind of know people's situations and how their trajectory has been coming along with these dating sites based on in their relationship, based on where they met.
Hold on. So you just skimmed past this thing that while people are on these dating sites, they're probably talking to 11 people at the same time. That's what you said.
11 people.
You just breezed past that like it wasn't a big deal. That's a big deal. That means that while you're on the dating site X and you're trying to like, start a relationship up with somebody, you've got another 10 people who you're talking to at the same time.
Yeah. She's not even have 11 colleagues. So how do I talk to 11 people? Well, actually, now that I think of it, lots of us do. Yeah, lots of people do. In fact, 11 is the minimum plus minus.
So according to Snae, eHarmony is a dating site for young professionals who are looking for a serious relationship.
The name sounds so boring. So I thought it might have been boring as well. But wow, very interesting. Very interesting. And then another platform is Bumble. Bumble is for people who are much more serious about meeting someone. Women are supposed to make the first move on this app. So the pressure is on for the ladies. This also means that the relationship won't last most likely because most of the time, and we live in this age where indoda must. And most women, they're willing to make that first move. But once in a relationship with someone, they're like, listen, hands off, you take the wheel from here. So that's the danger with that app. And as I was mentioning as well, lots of men are simps these days. Lots of men don't want to make any moves.
Right.
They want everything to be done for them. So the woman as well will want that as well. And then we just end up in this cycle of just talking on WhatsApp for the next 6 months.
Okay, Mark, I'm not sure how you feel about this, but I think we are way past the point where the man has to make the first move. I mean, look, some people want to be traditional about these things, and that's absolutely fine. But I don't think anybody's getting upset if the woman makes the first move. I don't think anybody needs to be like all serious and like sensitive about whether or not they were the first one to ask the other one. Doesn't matter, does it?
I'm in two minds about this one because I do think the man should make the first approach because it kind of affects the relationship afterwards. I think it's that lack of masculinity that the woman will understand if she approached you because then she'd be like, oh, this guy didn't even have the guts to come up to me, even though he was attracted to me. Mm-hmm. That's a thing that it filters through the relationship, but subtly. But I don't mind if women approach me. It actually does happen. So I'm also okay with it. So that's why I'm saying I'm in two minds about that part. But the one that I absolutely refuse is a woman proposing to me. I can't.
Is that a thing?
If a woman proposes to me, I'll say no, just on the basis of the fact that you proposed. It means you're not my woman. You don't understand who I am. I think I should be the one to go down on one knee and say, do choose you as my woman for the rest of my life, you know? That's the hard thing about the age that we live in now, I think, Gareth, is that there are still, these traditional elements just about being a human being that we've kind of forgotten in this new age. But I do think the man is the leader. I do think the man is supposed to provide. I do think he's supposed to show strength and protect. You know, it's not that to say that women can't do these things, but it's like a good comedian that I like watching. He's Andrew Casino, he's new or something like that. Andrew something. But he's like, we do all these things for you, woman. You guys have the most amazing job in the world. You get to give birth, which is the most incredible thing that a human being can do. You know,
right.
Now you want jobs too? Like, why? We do the jobs for you guys because we want to. Well, I feel like this. It's a way of showing respect for the crazy shit that you guys are doing. I do think there's an element of the man must lead, but also I'm not going to say no to a woman saying she wants to jump my bones.
Well, I mean, okay. I misread that one then because I thought it didn't matter too much to people, but obviously I was wrong. There are lots of people who they want to be the first to make the move. All right. So a few points here. Basit Sana says Tinder is so gross. 5 minutes into a conversation and you get sent a dick pic.
I've never been on Tinder.
No, not on Tinder. You can't send pics on Tinder. Not on Tinder. I know what app Basit Sana is on, but it's not Tinder.
I've been married for 8 years, says Gisela. If I were to find myself single again, I'd probably just get some more cats and stay that way. So much complication. Listen, it is tough. You need to know what's going on out there. I'm with Mark, says Bastana. I'm not making the first move. Mark, you're weird, says Carl. When my wife went down on her knees, that's when she knew she, when I knew she was the one.
Oh my God. Yeah. That is. And then up next we have Hinge. Hinge is considered to be quite respectable because these people, there's quite some decent people on there who are looking for people they've chatted with for a couple of weeks and most likely ghost after meeting once. That's what happens on such apps. The apps are the friendly people. We live in this generation of where people, I think everybody wants that dominant type of person. People want to be told what to do, it seems, these days. Because if you don't, you'll just end up talking for the next 10 years. Up next, I think now we're getting into what I would consider Desperation City. And that is a Badoo. This app is for people who tried everything but had no luck. It's now time to throw in the towel and settle for someone they're not attracted to, just to fill a hole in their life left by constant pursuit of mediocre fairy tales. These people are generally sweet and will bend backwards for you while you contemplate whether you're in. Yeah?
What is this one called?
Badoo. Have you heard of it?
No,
it's Desperation City. It's like, Bona, you've tried them all, they've all failed, and it's time to just throw in the towel and settle for someone who will just pass time with you.
It's 3 a.m. in the club, basically. It's 3 a.m. in the club, they're about to close.
It's 3 a.m. in the, yeah, it's 3 a.m. at a club. I mean, I have a friend who went on a date with someone from this app, and...
Sorry, Mark, we couldn't hear you. What was that?
I can't hear Mark.
It's 3 a.m. The lights have come on. You can actually see their face now. And you're like, ugh. But it's closing time. What am I going to do? That's what this app sounds like.
Basically.
All right, Mesh.
It's basically that. And then the last ones are Match.com, OkCupid, Plenty of Fish, and JSwipe. I believe JSwipe is the Jewish one.
Yes.
JSwipe. Yeah, it is the Jewish one. And look, there's a massive variety of dating apps in the world, from the types of people who use online dating apps to the way they use them to what they expect from their potential matches. There are also plenty of online dating websites and apps that you can choose from. So making it easy to get into the dating world has become the priority more than anything. And there's levels to it, though. And people need to understand that as well. I was telling Ryan that there's levels to it. The app you're at kind of tells people where you're at mentally as well. Have you given up?
Well,
you just want to settle down? Are you ready to just have some fun or what?
I feel bad for people who are on that last one you mentioned, that Badoo or whatever. That sounds terrible. I mean, like, if you're on there, like, you really are just... as you say, desperate. And who wants to be thought of as desperate? You know, that's just awful. Ugh.
Absolutely. My friend went on a date with someone from Badoo, and this guy actually video called his mother with her on their first date. So he was like, no, let's video call my mother. Let's video call my... So I was like, yo, video called his mother. And I was like, yeah, I'm with a girl. Look, mom, I'm with a girl. And I was like,
That sounds like
my... Basically. So yeah, there's levels to this, and when you get to a certain level, it's over for you.
Mark, thank you for joining us this morning. It's always good to have you on, and we love chatting to you and getting up to speed with what you've been doing. We'll catch up again soon, my friend. Nice to see you.
Such a pleasure, guys. Thank you for having me. Enjoy the rest of your day.
There he is, Mark Mtluli, and he's always good value. Listen, you've upset me with these dating apps that are for desperate people. I mean, I feel so bad for them. Listen, I want to talk about a podcast that somebody told me about the other day. So I actually know this person. I also know her brother, and I know her mom as well. And I didn't know that she was doing a podcast. She's got a 360 Degrees Human podcast. That's what it's called, 360 Degrees Human. And it's like a place where I suppose you get to talk about what it is that makes you human. Each episode is like a holistic masterclass. This is according to the blurb there. Explored through natural conversation and storytelling, intends to uncondition and re-educate, inspire, and empower. So it caught my eye, and I thought we'd better check in with Gina. She's on the line. Hey, Gina, how are you?
Hey, Gareth. I'm good, and you? I'm quite amused good. From your Hi, previous Gina. Conversation. Hi, guys.
I know. How desperate do some of those dating apps sound? I mean, it's really you should do an episode on that.
Well, you're doing it, Gareth, so I don't actually know. I don't think there's space for me. I'd have to find a holistic angle. I'm working on it as we speak.
All right. So tell us about your podcast, because we're always keen to find out about new podcasts, especially if they happen here in South Africa and someone's, you know, interviewing cool people. Who are you talking to and what kind of stuff are you doing on your podcast?
So really the idea is, as you said, to create this holistic masterclass. So how I view it is that it's not an interview. It's really an education. That's where I'm coming from. The idea is that holism is not really a mainstream concept in a way, which is ironic considering that if you look at nature, everything about it is holistic. So as humans, we live very siloed lives. We separate our work life from our family life, from our personal life, from our health, from our, you know, financial abundance, whatever the case is. And so this is a platform to really bring everything together under one umbrella and ask how you do that. And the whole concept is what I'm calling to live whole. That's the idea. And what does it mean to live whole for all different people? For me, it's really how do you align your mind, your body, your spirit, and your emotional well-being. So
a lot of people use this word holistic, and you're the first one who's actually defined it for me. It's like you have to have your mind, your body, your spirit, all kind of in the picture. You can't just focus on one of those. There are a lot of podcasts that do just focus on one of those. You know, they're these fitness ones, which are all about your physical being and your health. And, you know, and then there are these ones that are about your mental health. I mean, we talk to Dr. Hanan here on the show once a week. But there isn't anyone really doing the whole picture. So is that the definition, and is that what you wanted to do from the outset?
Well, absolutely. I mean, as I was saying, we really do live these siloed existences. And so the idea behind holism is that it's really where different parts that are all interconnected, they can't be separated. So we're looking at the being as an entire whole, which kind of defines why I've called the overall, it's actually part of a company, which is 360 degrees human, because we are made up of so many parts. Mm-hmm. And so in this offering, I should say, is the opportunity to learn and be educated. So it's not, so these are long form conversations. It's all around storytelling as well. So people, for me anyway, I love storytelling. It's the best way that I, and experience. Those are the two ways that I actually take in information and learn how to really embody it in a sense. So I would say that it's part of a much bigger idea, and I've decided to launch it with a podcast offering, and then basically, there will be things like masterclasses down the line, and live experiences. So this is really just the first step in a much greater concept, which is part of a vision that I've got to create a space for whole being.
Now, I mean, what caught my eye also is that I know your brother, Adam, and he's one of these. He's a visionary. There's no other way to put it.
And he is. And I taught him everything he knows, Gareth.
I've always enjoyed talking. Brother, because he is the guy who, you know, he kind of revitalized the Joburg CBD, and I'm just mentioning one of the things that he's done, but he got that whole what would you call it,
urban regeneration, like, in a way,
urban regeneration. He got that whole movement going in Johannesburg, and it was no small task. And everybody, when he said he was going to do it, everybody thought he was crazy, and he got it right. I mean, there are parts of Joburg now which are the coolest, trendiest places. There are people living in apartments that you would never have thought you'd have in the CBD. There are all kinds of facilities and galleries and really exciting things happening there, all as a result of your brother and his vision. And he's actually the first guest on your podcast. And people say, oh, well, that's nepotism. Why would you feature your brother on your first podcast? But he's an interesting dude.
Well, the reason why I actually did is because, and as I say, is that he obviously he has an incredible legacy that he's created, you know, so far. But the truth is that his place has been earned. And part of the, so the people that I'm interviewing are what I call on the one side, humanpreneurs, people who are making an impact in society, in their broader environment. And so for me, it was almost, you know, it was also fun to interview Adam because it was my first podcast interview and we're so comfortable with each other. We work so well together as well, always. So, and I just felt that he had something very valuable to offer. He also comes from a very mindful perspective. He's a very conscious human being. So he is all encompassing as far as I'm concerned. I mean, I think his biggest fan. So there's that. But then to come are people who are in the movement space, in, you know, who I call others who are spiritual wizards, others in the medical arena, in food and nutrition, in climate change, in nature, in design and architecture. So holism is so broad. It's just how we extrapolate those notions and offer them in a way that can be understood.
Who else are we going to hear from? What do you want to achieve with this podcast? I mean, you said it's part of a bigger picture.
Right, you know? Right. So at the end of the day, it is educational. So where can you take extracts of this and actually integrate them into your life? And the important word there is integration. So like I said, there will be things to come in future where people can actually have a hands-on experience of how that integration works. But who's next is, Brett Thompson, and Brett is part of a company called Mzanzi Meat, and Mzanzi Meat are the first cultivated meat company in South Africa. I'm not going to share any more because it's really exciting about how they are saving animals and how they are still being able to produce prime cuts of meat. Then there is Gijs de Necker, who is a holistic dentist. Which is incredible because he looks at the entire body instead of just isolating your mouth or the teeth in your mouth or the nerve ending in your mouth. So it's how your body works as a system, as a very integrated system in order to determine your health. There's Keith McFarlane, who came up with Rebound SA, which is an incredible, I don't know if you've experienced it, but I definitely recommend it. It's a little rebound, little trampoline actually. And it's used to create flow in your lymph system. So all of these things are tools and means. Do you know it?
Yeah. Well, we actually had a guest on the show and she was doing it every week and she said it's been the most amazing experience and she feels so much better. And, you know, I could believe it. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, just as a reference, Tony Robbins, amongst many others, use it continuously. And every time before he goes on stage, I'm assuming you all know who Tony Robbins is, but just for your audience, he's a master motivational speaker and, well, I mean, more than motivation, but inspiration. Anyway, so these are the things, but there's also, I have a really big network, both locally and internationally, which I'm going to handpick along the way. I'm just really getting the wheels turning for the moment and finding who I believe are people who can really add value to an individual's lives, which can then ripple effect into their own ecosystem. So what I call it is you work with your inner ecosystem, which we've just discussed, and then your outer ecosystem, which is how does the space around you actually impact your daily living experience? How do you design your life? So I'm also an architect and a designer, and 360 is part of a think tank as well. So how can we actually create spaces that help you live into your whole being?
I love it. It's called 360 Degrees Human. And Gina Levy is the host, and she can be found. We can find this on all the podcast servers, everywhere everyone finds the podcast.
Apple, Spotify, Google. We've also got a live outdoor event called Rooftop Retreats, which is every second month in Cape Town on different rooftops. And so we have movement experiences and breathwork experiences, sound journeys, etc. And that's also, so that's rooftop_retreats. And the podcast is on 360.degreeshuman. So beautiful. That's on Instagram and the rest is on our website, 360degrees.human. I mean, like that.
we'll attach all the links on our site.
Thank you. Well, all thanks right, for having me, Gareth, and see you soon, maybe at some family gathering or who knows, extended family gathering, I should say. That was quite amusing. And thanks for having me on the show.
No worries. Nice
to see you. Bye.
Wow. Always good to find out who's doing what. You know, Mash, we were talking the other day about all these Fong Kong solar installers and these people who are now suddenly in the solar business because there seems to be such a desire, obviously, to get off the grid and be dependent on Eskom. Well, someone sent me this and then Ryan put it up for us. Emily, 29 years old, Johan, inverter and solar installer.
Mm-hmm. Oh my goodness. This is so accurate. This is accurate. You know, Gareth, I actually put up a TikTok the other day and I was like, hey, you people with inverters, like, you know, put us on because it's getting difficult. And one thing I keep saying in the office in particular is that we can't complain anymore. We need to shut the hell up and start coming up with solutions for ourselves. We have to be accountable for ourselves now because nobody else will be.
No one's going to do it.
So I actually went on a mission. I was like, listen, I have to start seeing someone with an inverter. It's very important. I can't get one. I'm in an apartment. So might as well see someone with one. Because that way, it's not even about seeing someone who's on a different load shedding schedule. Because that was the previous target. That was the previous goal. See someone on a different load shedding schedule so that when I have load shedding, I can go there and vice versa. But now it's like inverter.
No use. It's no use seeing someone on the same load shedding schedule as you. Otherwise, you're still in the dark. That's no good. Yeah, that's no good.
By the way, all the time.
Another big problem that we're experiencing, and I saw this yesterday and I thought it was a joke, but apparently it is a real problem in Joburg. There are people who are putting pictures on the internet now of the water coming out of their taps, and it is blue in Johannesburg. So this is from Dombi M, and she actually took a picture of the water. That is straight out of her tap. It looks scary. It looks like something. Water should not be that color.
Nothing should be that color.
Huh?
No.
I mean, it's very pretty. It's very pretty. It's like a sapphire blue. But I don't think you should be drinking that.
It also has some bubbles in it, like a few bubbles in it. It's definitely not healthy. I don't know what chemical could have caused that because I'm trying to think of the water filtration and cleaning process. And I don't think there's anything blue involved in it. So I'm very shocked.
It's not good. Whatever that is, it's not good. So if you've got blue water and if you know this is true, if this is really happening to you, then please let us know. I mean, it sounds bloody awful. All right. So here's some questions. Seven Genia says, where is Leanne? She was not on yesterday. She's going to be on tomorrow. So don't panic about that. Ryan says, also the water schedule. I haven't had water for 3 days. Oh, Ryan, you have to, that's where you got to join a gym and you've got to go and shower. That's what you must do.
Yeah. I've been telling Ryan, gym is where it's at. You can shower and do 10 other things all at the same time. You're going to have breakfast there. You can live there.
Vyasin says that blue stuff looks like free Kool-Aid. And then Jared says, Gareth, yeses, I woke up fucking horny. Wow. Thanks, Jared. Thanks for sharing that with us. That's always good to know. Yeah, profound. Really useful information. Everything is price tagged lately, each to their own. I'm an old school and I'm not ashamed of it when it comes to personal relations. Not ignorant of what's going on either, says Zach. I think that's to do with, you know, people who are obviously, you know, trying to find ways around load shedding and everything else. My water is fizzing, says Dumi. Oh my God, Dumi, do not drink it.
Sure. So it's drink. Like a little soda stream from your tap. That's very worrying. Very worrying. I haven't actually I had some water. My water is fine this morning. Thank goodness. I haven't experienced any load shedding thus far. But I am with you, comrades. We'll go strike together eventually. We'll go strike together.
Oh, I'm being corrected on my pronunciation. Seven, it's can I. Seven, can I. Okay. Well, I mean, you want to spell your name like that, you must expect it to be mispronounced. Sorry.
Yeah. Just expect that.
One quick last thing. You know, these self-help books. I hate these self-help books. They all seem to be saying the same thing. And they're these. I don't know if you've seen people reading these. I've seen a lot of social media posts from people that they're reading these books by this guy called Thomas Erickson. Have you seen these books?
Yeah, I see these books all the time, like The Secret.
So it's surrounded by narcissists, surrounded by idiots, surrounded by psychopaths, surrounded by setbacks. And someone posted this. I thought it was a very good point. Jana said, has it occurred to Thomas Erickson that he might be the problem? Because he's constantly surrounded by all these disasters, and clearly this is his life. I think if you're reading all these books, it might be you. You might be the issue.
Yeah.
Right?
As Taylor Swift best said it, yeah, it's me. I'm the problem. Yeah.
There we go. And she really is the problem. Zach says, my sister's pool looked like lemon twist in December, and everybody thought I was being too snobbish, refusing to swim in that shit. Listen, we talk about people with their dirty houses and cockroaches, you know, when you started the show this morning, Mash. But there are people who have disgusting dirty pools, and then they want you to swim in them. I mean, they're dark green. They're yellow in color. It's not good. And I'd rather not swim than get into water that I can't see the bottom of the pool.
Gareth, I saw so many of these people this past December. They were just posting pictures, posing. They're like in the pool, like, yay. And I was like, damn, that water's so green. You're swimming with frogs. There could be a damn crocodile in that water. You wouldn't know. And it was disgusting. And I actually quoted one of the tweets. There was actually one picture from a Pretoria public swimming pool where the water was actually pretty green. And it was, the pool was packed. People are all just jumping in there and swimming. Families, grown people, young people. And I quoted this and I came up with some scientific fact. And I was like, y'all, just do with this information as you will. But you're going to get sick if you have a cut.
I'm very sorry. Like, I just don't think it's right that people, if you have a dirty ass pool, I'm not impressed. And no one should be swimming in that. Sorry. It's just not on.
Yeah. And also, if you swim in that, I am more worried about your mental state of mind and your standards as well. I'm very analytical of that stuff because certain things that people do tell you a lot about them and the way they think of themselves. So, nope, we're not doing that. We are not doing that.
Please let us not be swimming in dirty, filthy pools, if you don't mind. I would prefer us not to be doing that. Thank you very much.
Please. Yeah. And Gareth, I remember yesterday on the show, Lebang outed me for driving auto. I recall.
Oh, yes. Yeah, you want to deal with that. I don't blame you. It's about time. Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead, Nash.
Yeah. So for people who didn't watch the show yesterday, Lebang just outed me that I drive an auto car. And she was very shocked by that because she's like, wow, what's with you young people and just buying auto cars? You never drive manual, so you never get to experience it and be connected and engaged in the driving experience as you are in a manual car. Now, you guys can watch yesterday's show to see that, but I'm going to address it now. And Bon, Lebang, I know Lebang's watching. She might not be commenting today, but the reason why is because we don't like struggle. I don't like struggle. And I feel like many people these days don't like struggle. Most of the big companies, most of the big car manufacturers, especially the German ones, they don't even make manual cars anymore. There is a reason for that, Gareth. And as young people, we don't want struggle. We want things to be as convenient as possible. And we know that things are changing as well. I know a lot of people have trouble with accepting that because they feel like, no, you must still change gears. And I saw a TikTok about this the other day and some lady was like, listen, whenever I see a manual car, I just think struggle.
I get you. I mean, why, you know, life is full of enough hardships. Why would you also want to add like something that you don't need to really worry about? I mentioned yesterday, there are a lot of people who are growing up who've never driven a manual car and they don't care. So why should the rest of us who think we're superior just because we learned to drive in a manual car? Doesn't make a difference. Actually, you're not better. Mm. It's just, it's easier for people to drive automatic. I've driven both. I don't mind.
Yeah. Mm. I can drive both as well. And can you just imagine being a first-time driver with that manual car at a steep incline and the robot just turned green and it's like 7 a.m. in Sandton. on like William Nickel or something at an uphill, and you are just freaking out. You're trying to clutch, control, balance, what, and you're struggling with that. And people start hooting at you. The robot turns orange and turns red again while you're still trying to get your shit together. That kind of struggle. And yes, it's for beginners, but even later on in life, it still happens to some people. I've seen that.
I saw a middle-aged man who stalled his car doing exactly what you just described now. And it's still embarrassing, even if you've been driving for years.
It's the most humiliating thing. So just avoid all that hassle, all that hardship, and just get yourself an auto. Just get yourself an auto. I feel like, and I found,
The thing you were saying now that makes it different and that I like is that you said you can drive a manual car, but you've chosen not to struggle, which I think is great.
Exactly. Yeah, my license is manual. Everything's manual. I actually learned to drive in manual cars. And just convenience. Life is about convenience. And one thing I always say to everyone that I meet is that, you know why people work hard? They work hard for comfort. That's why people work hard. Mm-hmm. We don't work hard for money. We work hard for comfort. That's why the most comfortable things in life cost more. You want a car with ventilated seating. You want a car with heated seating, heated steering wheel. You're going to pay more for that. That's what we're working towards in life. From your house to your bathtub to what bathing products you use. It's all based around comfort. Your cell phone, the more money you spend, the easier it is to use. Comfort. That's what we're working towards. So I need Lebang to understand that, as well as anybody to understand that.
I hope she's listening. I hope she's paying attention this morning because you've explained it very well. I can't argue with you. I think it makes a lot of sense. Sandile says, I was once a purist, but having dealt with Joburg traffic for the last 13 years, we need to burn, or I think maybe he means ban or burn, all manual cars. So yeah, I agree. I hope manual driving doesn't get outlawed. I don't think anyone's going to outlaw it. I don't need to worry about that. Yeah. All right. Enough of this fun for one morning. We will see you tomorrow at 6 a.m. Have an excellent day, everybody. Be good. We will see you on the morrow. Cheers. CliffCentral.com.